The Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast is brought to you by Triple Threat Sports. For all your team outfitting needs, call Chris at 708-478-6090. Mariska's in Crest Hill, family-owned and operated since 1933. And Chuck's Southern Comforts Cafe, with locations in Burbank and Darien. Let's drop the puck.
Welcome to the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast with NBCChicago.com's James Naveau and 670 The Score's hockey guy, Jay Zawoski.
Here I am, Chicago! Woo!
Welcome into the first post-playoff elimination edition. Yeah, went there. Of the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast, my name is James Naveau from NBC5 Chicago, and with me, as always, is the one and only I'm Fat podcast co-host, Jay Zawoski of 670 The Score. Jay, so much has happened since last we spoke. The entire Chicago media landscape got flipped on its head. The Blackhawks got eliminated from the playoffs. Donald Trump fired everybody. It's a weird world right now, man. But you know what? I'm looking forward to talking about our feelings tonight. Our feelings specifically about our dearly departed Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah, I'm looking at the TV right now, and you and I had planned to do this podcast post-game, but I wrote you during the second intermission, like, let's just get this over with. Right now it's 5-1, Vancouver. Vancouver has not scored more than 4 goals since, I believe, the middle of February. This team sucks. They're really bad. The goalies are horrible. Jonathan Toews is out with an injury, so they've gone from bad to horrific. There's really not much to say about this team now. We knew it was going to be bad until the end. I didn't know it was going to be quite this bad. I thought they'd be at least competitive. They're getting their asses kicked in every game, and it's not fun. But before we get to the Blackhawks, there is some good news to share. And if you tuned out the Hawks game tonight, which why wouldn't you? you missed the announcement from Eddie Olczyk saying that he had his scan and is now 100% cancer-free. So that is awesome news for an awesome guy who, throughout this entire season, has done a lot to inspire people, a lot to educate people. Just really so much that Eddie has done that people don't know about while he was suffering, while he was going through this chemo and this treatment. And he was obviously not feeling well himself. It's just great news. I'm so happy that Eddie is healthy and, presumably back at full strength for broadcasts and everything. So congratulations to Eddie Olczyk. I want to tell you this, James. We had Eddie on the Score with the recently departed Spiegel and Parkin show. And Eddie had a guy write the show and say, hey, you know, you've helped me get through a tough time. You helped me get tested, and I discovered I had something, and it's treatable now. And off the air, Eddie asked for that guy's number. Just a stranger. Just a texter to a radio station, just wishing Eddie well and thanking him for the inspiration to get checked. And Eddie called the guy personally, talked to the guy personally, and helped him. And he did that a number of times. That's just the one specific incident that I know of. But I know that he was doing that with a lot of people that reached out to him. He would follow up with them personally. Just total strangers, just Hawks fans, and needed some advice and needed some encouragement. And he did it at a time when he was feeling horrible himself. So however you feel about Eddie the broadcaster, I think he's terrific as a broadcaster. I know some people don't love him. I love him as a broadcaster. But as a guy, there's not many people better than Eddie Olczyk. So so happy and thrilled for Eddie, a guy I think I can call my friend. Just great news during the first intermission tonight.
Yeah, obviously I saw that news on Twitter. I've kind of been bouncing back and forth between that game and the NCAA tournament. Obviously, don't blame anybody for kind of doing the same thing. And I have to obviously echo your sentiments that it's absolutely awesome that Eddie is, clean bill of health. He's ready to go. I mean, he fought that disease hard, and it took a lot out of him. And you could definitely tell in the times that he was back during his treatment, like it wasn't easy, man. And it never is easy in that fight against that insidious disease. And for him to have beaten cancer and to be fully healthy, ready to go for the remainder of this Blackhawks season, and then hopefully for, you know, a good long playoff run with NBC. I'm looking forward to hearing a lot more Eddie O as the playoffs get underway, and I'm looking forward to him being in the booth again full time next season, because as much as Steve Conroy, I think, kind of improved in the role during the season, I think he'd be the first one to say that he was just keeping Eddie's chair warm. And Eddie is going to come back into that booth and kick some ass just like he did against cancer. So kudos to Eddie. Very glad that he's healthy and ready to go, and can't wait to hear him back in the booth on a regular basis.
No doubt about that. And that sort of leads me into the conversation I wanted to have with you tonight. You mentioned how you're looking forward to listening to Eddie in the playoffs and seeing him cover the games for NBC, yada, yada, yada. This season has taken a ton out of me. I don't know if you feel the same way. I don't know if I think our listeners, a lot of our listeners that we've heard from, have felt the same way. As soon as game 82 is played, I really don't know how much playoff hockey I'm going to watch. I'm going to be honest with you. This season has left such a bad taste in my mouth as far as just really a miserable experience from game 2 to 82. Game 1 was great, where they just lit up the Penguins and we all predicted Brandon Saad would have, you know, 40 goals and they're, you know, back to where they were at the top of Western Conference. And then what happened, right? It just all fell apart from the weird rumors about Corey Crawford to just simply the fact that he was out as long as he was to just the second half being terrible, just terrible. I remember, wasn't it Patrick Kane right after the All-Star break said that it'd have to go 23-9 or whatever it was he said, and they went on to lose, what, like 9 out of those 10?
It was out of their first 10 games out of the All-Star break, they lost.
Yeah.
It was insanely bad, like unbelievably difficult hockey to watch. And I've always said to people when they like talk to me about like blogging about the Blackhawks and doing this podcast, I've always said it's not really work. Like, it definitely has moments where you kind of feel stressed out while you're doing it. But overall, like, you're getting paid to watch and talk about hockey, and there's nothing really work about that. But this year's Blackhawks team, for the first time, I can honestly say, has been work to pay attention to and to watch and to cover and to analyze and do all that stuff. And I definitely don't feel the urge necessarily to just like watch every single playoff game. I'm not going to be like glued to my television if the Maple Leafs play the Blue Jackets in the first round or whatever. But there are still teams like the Nashville Predators, the Vegas Golden Knights, the Tampa Bay Lightning that I'm definitely going to pay attention to. And I am rooting like crazy for a matchup like that in the Stanley Cup final, a Tampa Vegas or a Tampa Nashville or a Toronto matchup. Like, the hockey fan in me, I would tune into that. But if it's like Penguins and Predators again, I'm probably going to check out. But I'm looking forward to playoff hockey and seeing actual competence on the ice. I think that's not a high bar to climb or to jump over. And I'm hoping that this year's playoffs can kind of wash some of this nonsense out of my mouth after watching what will be 82 games of Blackhawks hockey.
Yeah. As you're saying that, I'm trying to convince myself that I'm going to be in once the playoffs start, but I'm just not feeling it, man. And I'm telling you, if it was not for this podcast, I probably would have bailed on this Hawks team 20 games ago because there's nothing to watch for. You know, the whole thing's a wash. I think we've seen what we've seen from Schmaltz. We've seen what we've seen from DeBrincat. You feel good about those two, right? You think the arrow's pointed the right way. Vinny Hinostroza's had some nice moments. But aside from that, all these kids they've called up, like Highmore and is it Martinek who's up there now? And all these guys they've given a look, they're all just guys. I don't really see much of a, like, oh, this guy could be a future, you know, second liner or penalty kill special. They're all just dudes. They're all just players. And it doesn't mean they're bad, but I don't see any real potential in those guys. I think it's Schmaltz, it's DeBrincat, to a lesser extent, Hinostroza, and your camps and your guys like that, even like John Hayden, who I like and I really, really want to be great, I just don't have a lot of confidence that they're going to amount to much in our NHL career. So typically, you'd be watching to see these kids develop, but I think we've seen what we're going to see from them this year. And I wonder if when things get as bad as they've gotten, if you just sort of have to throw out the last 10 games or so as a coach, as a GM, and say, okay, this was a crazy year with a lot of weird stuff going on, some bad luck, some bad injuries, some other unfortunate things, and you just kind of have to chalk it up to a weird season. I don't know how much there's actually to glean in these last 10 games, I guess is what I'm saying. And it's been a chore for me to watch them, I'll be honest. And even when I do watch the games, I'm watching them sort of half paying attention because it's just not enjoyable. And it's back in the day when the Hawks sucked, like in the, you know, before Taves and Kane got here, you watched for hope. You watched to see, like, okay, is there any sign that they're going to get out of this someday, right? And right now it just feels like it's, as opposed to who's going to grow and who's going to be good for this team, it's when can we just hit the reset button and try again next year and see what happens in the offseason. To me, I'm not really super interested in Hawks news until the draft and free agency start, I'll be honest.
Yeah, I feel you big time. Like, there's I feel like the post-game podcast idea, I really am kind of regretting the fact that we didn't start doing it last season, because there was a lot more to talk about after every single game, and now there just isn't anything, man. We end up, like, breaking down, like, the game, and then after, like, 5 minutes, it's like, well, what are we going to complain about? Like, you kind of start running out of things to talk about.
Well, and it's rough on the listener, too, because it's the same story every night.
Yeah.
The goaltending was bad. The power play wasn't good enough. Yada, yada, yada. It's the same story. So it's one thing if it's a playoff year and there's good games and bad games and there's things to look forward to for the playoffs. With this, and, you know, both of us just sort of said, okay, we'll do post games every now and again. But who wants to listen to that? Who wants to listen to the Hawks lose again, 4-1 to the Buffalo Sabres? It's just, ugh. How many times can we say the same thing, right? And that's sort of been our philosophy with the podcast, has been, let's not just complain about how bad this year has been. Let's look forward and let's think about what the future holds and what the moves are going to be in the offseason, because I think that's what's interesting and that's what's important, not these final seven games. I don't think they matter at all, really, to anybody.
I would definitely agree with that. I think that I'm not really particularly interested in whether or not the Blackhawks will be able to spoil things for the St. Louis Blues or the Colorado Avalanche down the stretch. I know that obviously playing each of those teams twice is going to be, or is it Colorado or Winnipeg? They play twice. They play one of those teams twice. You know what? That's how little I care about the rest of the season. I have no idea who the Blackhawks even play anymore.
The answer is, who gives a shit?
Twice, but whatever. Anyway, my point is that a lot of people are like, kind of like, ooh, they could play sport. I don't care. I just don't, man. That narrative never really sits with me. Like, I don't really care about keeping St. Louis out of the playoffs. Yeah, it's fun to make fun of them and stuff, but in the end, who ultimately cares?
See, playoff spoiler to me is a role for loser teams.
Exactly.
Right? It's not the role for three Stanley Cups in the last, in the last 8 years. That's not a. So, by the way, they play Winnipeg twice and St. Louis twice.
There we go. I knew it was a Central Division foe that I loathe and hold in very low esteem. I just didn't remember which one.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is. So set your DVRs for Chicago, Winnipeg on Saturday, April 7th. I'm sure that's
spoilage. By the way, if you want to go see the Blackhawks play on Monday, I just saw this. There are tickets available to that game for $23. People are unloading those tickets. They are not wanting to go see the Chicago Blackhawks play.
Are you talking about official, like, through the team, or are you talking about tickets, like, through, like, a broker? Like our sponsor, Seat Giant.
Our pals at Seat Giant and StubHub both had very cheap tickets.
Well, if you'd like to buy those tickets, you can save if you use SeatGiant.com promo code MADHOUSE. So you can go for even cheaper.
Hey, Matthew Highmore scored a goal.
I'm way behind on mine. This is my one My one complaint about cutting the cord is this PlayStation View, while it's great and inexpensive and I love it, it's also super far behind.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. No, it's okay.
You know what? We're not going to do play-by-play of the game in progress. Instead, Jay, what I would like to do in our second segment is I want to do kind of like a quick dive into, obviously, we can kind of touch on what we think went wrong this season. But more importantly, I want to bring up some comments that Stan Bowman made in a New York Times article this week.
It sounds good.
So I think that's what we should hit when we come back out of our first break.
All right, but before that first break, we want to tell you about our friends at Triple Threat Sports. You know by now that if you need to get an NHL jersey, an NFL jersey, whatever, made, that's the place to go. It's going to look outstanding. It's going to look fabulous. And by the way, speaking of people that beat cancer, Chris Hubbell, also cancer survivor this year. So congrats to him as well. We've talked about that before. But Triple Threat Sports, we're coming around to baseball season, right? Your kid's on a team. My kid's on a team. We're the Pink Panthers. Addie's number 22 on the Pink Panthers. So I get to wear a pink jersey all year because I'm the coach. But your league needs jerseys. Your teams need jerseys. 16-inch softball is about to start too. Triple Threat Sports is the place to go to outfit your team in whatever sport you need. Baseball, softball, you know, you got a flag football team, lacrosse, anything. Triple Threat Sports is going to make you look like the best dressed team in the league. So check them out at triplethreatsports.com or give them a call 708-478-6090. That's 708-478-6090. Or send them an email at chris@triplethreatsports.com. Triple Threat Sports, if you can wear it, they can make it. Back with more red hot hockey conversation on the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.
Welcome back into the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast, where we haven't given up on the Blackhawks yet. Even though math says they're eliminated from the playoffs, I refuse to believe it until the season ends and they're not playing for Lord Stanley Silver Chalice. Anywho, enough
you are
of my
high
sarcasm.
Right now. How many pots have you smoking? How much peyote did you do in Arizona?
Gave up on the season, what, probably like game 55, 60 or so. Like sounds we were right. Just like, yeah, this is done.
Yeah.
All right. So we both think that the Blackhawks have some work to do this offseason. We think that they need to make some changes. Does Stan Bowman agree with us? The answer to that question is no. No, he does not. In an article in the New York Times, which discussed the fall of the Blackhawks from top tier of the NHL to also-ran, Bowman insisted that the Blackhawks are not light years away from where we want to be. Bowman pointed to the way the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Colorado Avalanche rebounded this season after tough times a season ago. Although the realities of the NHL's hard salary cap will force him and the rest of Chicago's front office to face difficult decisions heading into next year, Bowman said he did not anticipate a need to make sweeping changes. Jay, I have two questions about that comment.
Okay.
Question number one, does that indicate to you that there is at least a chance that Bowman's just going to go, you know what, we're not firing Joel. We're not selling off a bunch of assets. We're just going to kind of maintain status quo. Or do you think that he is playing possum a little bit and he's going to go aggressively and do something?
I think that both could be true. And I know that's kind of a cop-out, but if Stan Bowman is nothing if not unpredictable. We saw him a couple weeks ago make comments that, well, you know, when you look at the core of this team, they're really not that old. Like, Jonathan Toews is only 29 and Kane's only 29 and blah, blah, blah. Like, dude, are you watching what we're seeing? Now, I will agree with him on one thing. I do think that if Corey Crawford is healthy, that they are a borderline playoff team. Now, cup contender? Probably not. But I think if Corey Crawford had been healthy for, you know, if it was after Christmas and he never went on IR after Christmas, I think there's a good chance that this team is significantly better. Say what you want about their save percentages or whatever. Berube and Forsberg have been bad, and they've given up bad goals at really bad times. Like, whenever it felt like the Hawks were getting back into something, you could almost count on a bad goal being given up. It was almost, you could set your watch to it. So I do think with Corey Crawford, with just Corey Crawford, this team is probably a playoff team or playoff contender at this point this year. Maybe they're fighting for a playoff spot, but I think they're definitely a playoff team. So are they that far away from winning again? That's kind of the question. And if Stan Bowman believes they're not, I find it hard to believe that he's going to fire Joel Quenneville. Now, Dan McNeil, who has recently hired at the Score again, on his first or second show said he's heard from an unimpeachable source that Joel Quenneville expects to be fired. He thinks he's going to get fired at the end of the year. Now, say I don't know how you feel about Dan McNeil. I don't think he would make that up. He is a huge Hawks fan and talks to people about, in the Hawks and about the Hawks all the time. So there's no reason that I would doubt his information. So if it's true that Joel Quenneville expects to be fired, you would think a guy with that sort of tenure would have some sort of inside info that maybe they'd say, look, Joel, you know, we're going to let you play out the string here and finish this year, and we'll find a way to, you know, get rid of you without it. And we'll all save face, right? Like, we'll say you're resigning or whatever. So if Quenneville expects it, maybe it's going to happen. If McNeil's information is correct, maybe it will happen. But if I'm a betting man, and I'm not, but if I was, I still think it's going to be status quo this season as far as the staff goes. I think that Bowman's back. I think that Quenneville's back on a very short leash, but I think Quenneville's back. And if Corey Crawford's back, they could be right back to a playoff contending team again. But that's a lot of ifs. That's a lot of ifs for me.
My thinking here, based on what Stan said in the article, is I'm actually going to take it in at face value. And I know that's usually a fool's errand when it comes to an NHL executive, but I have a good reason for it. It's because he's already gotten to re-sign Eric Gustafson and Jan Ruda, and he's making these decisions to keep these guys. I highly, highly doubt that John McDonough would give him carte blanche to re-sign guys and then fire him. That seems kind of silly to saddle the new guy with contracts. That probably would be a bad idea. Also, I'm going to take that as indicating to me that Bowman thinks this roster is at least close. He may not think that it's perfect. Obviously, you cannot think this roster is good enough completely as currently constructed, considering they were eliminated from the playoffs essentially with like 18 games to go. They were pretty much done. So you can't think that they're set to go. But Stan clearly, I thinks that the team is in a position where they need to make some tweaks. Not a massive overhaul, but tweaks. And to that end, I think that if he truly believes that, and from his signings, I think it's indicative that he believes that, I would say that if he thinks that this thing just needs tweaks, you're not going to get a better coach for next season than Joel Quenneville. You can argue that you can get a coach for like 3-4 years from now that's probably going to be better in terms of like resurrecting the careers of the guys and kind of, you know, tuning up the young guys and getting them playing at an elite level, yada, yada. You can definitely say that. But I think that if you're looking at strictly next season and the way that Stan Bowman is both talking and acting, I think he's looking at this as another run at a playoff spot. And I think the guy he's going to say is going to get them on that path. And to that end, I think he's going to say it's Joel Quenneville, and I don't think he's going to fire him.
Well, let me ask you this, and I agree with you. Now, is it safe to assume that Brandon Saab will have a better year next year? I think the answer to that question is yes. Is it safe to assume that Jonathan Toews can be the Jonathan Toews he was for the last third of this season as opposed to the first two-thirds of this season? I think that's a reasonable – I don't know if you can expect it, but I think it's a reasonable thing that could happen. Is it – fair to think that Patrick Kane in a more normal season with a little more consistency in the lineup could return to a point per game player? I think the answer to that is yes. Is it feasible that both Nick Schmaltz and Alex DeBrincat take another step next year? Yes, I think those are both true. Now, those are the things that I feel good about. From there, I'm not totally sure. And you know, as much as I want to believe in Jan Ruda and Erik Gustafsson and these defensemen that he brought back, I'm just not sold that they're going to be any better than they are right now. You know, I think that Ruda's fine. He's a fine five or six. I think Gustafsson is ideally a seven or an eight. I don't see either of those guys as everyday players. Jordan Osterley had a really good year, but I think on a playoff team, he can't be your second best defenseman. And
no,
that's what he was this year. And you could, and Duncan Keith, who is your best defenseman, has shown signs of slowing down big time. Lots of turnovers, missing that sort of that step that he used to have to make up for some of the mistakes he made. Boy, it's hard for me to see Duncan Keith taking a step forward next year. There's a lot of questions, and I think when these re-signings were made, that's sort of why I was so upset about them. Like, why? Like, why is this a priority right now? Why do you have to lock up Jan Ruda and Erik Gustafsson? What have they done to prove they deserve a spot on this team? And I don't know. I just don't know what – when I hear Bowman say the things he says about, like, oh, you know, I think we're closer than you think, and I think that, you know, our star players are not really declining. It's just a fluke. It scares me because things do need to happen. You're not going to be able to trade Brent Seabrook, obviously. I don't think he's ever going to trade Taves or Kane. I don't know what really can happen aside from tweaking the bottom end and bringing back two guys that were meh this year, even though it's a pretty decent money for both guys. I just don't know what it accomplishes. I think you're going to see a very similar roster next year, and unless there's some sort of big deal made in the offseason, like a major trade or a major signing, and they'll have some cap space, so they could do that. I just don't know how different the team's going to look. But again, with Crawford and with Taves and Kane returning to their normal form, you're probably looking at a playoff team, but still not a cup contender.
I would agree with that, and I don't think there's enough cap flexibility to say that they can really make that jump to cup contender status next season. Like, I just don't see it. Do you? I mean, I look at it, I don't think you can make that defense cup caliber in one off season based on the fact that not only do you have Brent Seabrook, you might want to plug your ears for this, Jay. Not only do you have him for six more years at $41 million, but you also gave him a no movement clause. Like, just, bah, are you kidding me, man? Come on. Like, you not only made that contract untradeable with how much money it is, you literally made it untradeable by including that clause in it, man. Now, what did, like, Brent Seabrook, obviously, I think, earned at least a modified, whatever you want to say. He did not earn almost $7 million a season. Like, just, come on.
No.
And,
yeah.
Neither, you know what? Neither did Artem Anisimov. The money isn't bad. It's the no movement clause that's like, are you flipping kidding me? You gave it to that guy? Like, yeah, he scored at least 20 goals in each of his seasons in Chicago. Big flipping whoop. You have two straight first round exits and a missed playoffs. You know what? That 20 goals a season, great. You can't trade a guy making $4.5 million with a flipping no movement clause. Good grief. Like, if there's anything that I'm mad at Stan Bowman about, it's not really, like, re-signing guys that I think are easily replaceable. It's these idiotic no-movement clauses that are basically ensuring that the only strategy he's going to be able to do is to try to retool on the fly.
Yeah, and aside from signing a major free agent, like an Erik Karlsson, to your team this summer, nothing's going to return on the Stanley Cup for him. It's just not. Maybe you'd be a playoff team, and they, you know, the old adage, like, once the playoffs start, you never know. But look, what we're seeing in hockey is the best teams win the cup. That it's pretty rare that you're like, wow, that was unexpected. No.
When was the last time a team just got, like, red hot and romped to a Stanley Cup?
See, that's the thing. You have teams that they can romp to the Stanley Cup final, but they don't romp to the cup.
Or, like, the Ottawa Senators last season, or,
right,
you know, stuff like that.
That happens now and again, but they don't win the cup. They don't end up winning the cup. That's why when you look at the recent cup winners, it's been a handful of teams. It's been the Penguins, the Hawks, and the Kings, basically. And, you know, and there's a reason for that. So, I don't know. Like, sure, maybe they get in the playoffs and maybe they win a round. Maybe they win two rounds. Maybe they go to the conference final. Who knows? But they're not a cup champion. And I don't know what they can do, again, short of signing an Erik Karlsson-type player, which I don't know how they're going to do because it's going to cost them, what, Erik Karlsson's probably going to get $9-10 million.
I'm going to make a bold prediction here.
Uh-oh.
That Erik Karlsson is going to make more than Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane.
What? I mean, I don't see any reason why he shouldn't.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you look at inflation, you look at how, I mean, that deal was signed, what, 2013? Whenever it was.
Yeah.
That was a long, those deals were signed a long time ago.
Well, that's only what? One player makes more than them now, right?
Yep.
That's Connor McDavid.
And rightfully so.
Yeah, I think somebody matched him, if I recall correctly. I think Carey Price is also making like roughly that much money, but I'd have to look it up. I don't remember exactly what his extension was, but no, there are not many guys who are making that kind of coin, and I got to think that Erik Karlsson hits that market, he's going to be that guy.
Yeah, and there's no way the Hawks afford that, so... Like we said, short of a player like that coming in without anything going out, which is almost impossible, you know, then they're not going to get back to the 2015-13-10 form that we're familiar with. So, all right, let's take another break, come back. We talked last week about who we might be rooting for in the playoffs. I want to revisit that a little bit before we get to emails. But before that, I want to tell you about our friends at Marischka's, 604 Theodore Street in Crest Hill, family-owned and operated since 1933. I talk a lot about these restaurants I love that advertise on this podcast, and I mean it. And Marischka's is a place, and James can vouch for this too, that you'd be proud to take a friend or a family member to go. It's a high-quality place. It's managed and cared for with love by a family that's poured their heart and soul into it for, you know, almost a century now. The best poor boy you've ever had. They've got great steak, seafood, chops, everything. A full bar with great craft beer. They have banquet facilities for up to 110 people. So make sure if you're out in the Crest Hill, Joliet area, you check out Marischka's, 604 Theodore Street. Visit Marischka's.com or Facebook.com/Marischka's. That's Merichkas. They're closed only on Christmas, Easter, the 4th of July, and Thanksgiving. So go check out our friends at Marischka's. When we come back, we will talk about our playoff hopefuls on the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.
Welcome back into the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast, where we're talking about the freshly eliminated Chicago Blackhawks, who lost tonight to the Vancouver Canucks, further eliminating them, I guess. I don't know.
Further,
they're already done.
You're not just eliminated. You're further eliminated.
You're eliminated so far now, you don't even know. So, before we get to the postseason and who this podcast is going to root for, we have to mention Blackhawks South, the Carolina Hurricanes, who have basically poached every player from the Blackhawks. It's essentially their entire roster. However, it was one of their non-Blackhawks tonight that made just the most ridiculous play that you're ever going to see. You thought Mike Smith's butt goal was going to be the weirdest goal ever scored by an NHL goalie. No, sir. Cam Ward tonight, as the puck was coming around the boards on a dump-in, the puck got stuck in his skate blade behind the net. Cam Ward decided it would be a fun idea to skate back to the crease and put his skate and the puck into the net. Officials did not blow the play dead and ruled it a good goal. Jay Zawoski, I will ask you, having seen this play and heard the description of it, should that goal have counted?
I just watched the replay because you told me about it during our break, and I don't know how you don't stop that play. Like, he clearly doesn't know where the puck is. The refs probably don't know where the puck is. So it's in his blade. He's spinning around kind of like, Where the hell is the puck? I can't find it. Goes into his net to look behind the net. The skate goes in, and the puck's on his skates and goes in. I think it should have been blown dead. After seeing the review, I think it should have been blown dead.
See, I think to me, the butt goal, I thought they made the right decision to count it because the puck had that weird-ass bounce off the glass and ended up basically landing on Smith's back and sliding into his goal pads. Like, I get that. You can't blow that play dead in case that puck just drops. Like, you have to let that go. In this instance, that thing was clearly lodged in a skate blade. And if the official knew where it was, should have blown it dead because of that. And if he didn't know where it was, then you don't know where the puck is, and you have to assume it's out of play, and you blow the play dead. Like, I don't understand why not only the whistle didn't go, but they didn't invoke our favorite rule, intent to blow. Like, how on earth can you not invoke that and at least give Cam Ward some dignity, man? Like, hey, my God, that poor guy. Like, that is going to be shown on blooper reels for years and years and years. That there is no way that goal should have counted.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. Yeah, I forgot about the butt goal happening so it's fun to laugh about hockey again, isn't it?
Ironically, I think it was against the the Coyotes were playing the Hurricanes tonight, I believe.
Yep, that's correct.
The Coyotes are just apparently going to be involved in every single weird goal ever.
All right, so last week we asked our podcast listeners who they were rooting for in lieu of the Blackhawks. And I think most of our responses were Vegas.
Yep.
And for a while there, I agreed with it. But then I started to think, the Vegas Golden Knights have a lot of ass bags on their roster. They've got James Neal. They've got Ryan Reeves. They got a lot of guys I don't really want to cheer for. So I'm out on Vegas. I'm sorry. It's a cool story. And if they win a Stanley Cup, I'll appreciate it because it's a cool story. But they are not getting my rooting this playoff season. I'm very sorry, my friend. It's not happening. Too many wangs on the Vegas Golden Knights.
You're pulling rank on our listeners who overwhelmingly wanted us to bandwagon for the Vegas Golden Knights. You are telling them nine. You are telling them no.
They can be the official playoff team of the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. They are not the official playoff team of Jay Zawoski. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, there's two teams that I want to see do well. One is the Columbus Blue Jackets for no real reason other than
by the ultimate ass bag.
I know, but
he's
not on the ice. And there's
it
guys.
Doesn't matter. He's commanding the troops. Screw that guy. No.
There's guys on that team that I like. I like Artemi Panarin, obviously. I like going to games in Columbus. I think they have a good fan base. And I think the fact that, like, that ridiculous market winning a Stanley Cup would be hilarious. The team I'm actually rooting for this year that I really want to see win a Stanley Cup because they've been good for so long and they really, I think, deserve one. And it's not the Washington Capitals. It is the San Jose Sharks. I would like to see the Sharks have a nice playoff run. Yeah, I like what they do. They've been good and competitive for a long time. Love Joe Thornton, love Brent Burns. I would just really like to see the Sharks win the cup.
I think if the Pittsburgh Penguins win a third straight cup, I'm going to quit watching hockey. Like, I think we can just retire the podcast and be done because I cannot deal with that again.
Yeah, that's a rough go, especially for Hawks fans who have the argument like, well, the Hawks won 3 and the Penguins are like, well, we won 3-2, including 2 in a row. That third in a row would be... That is the argument ender.
Well, and then Jay inevitably would bring up, they could have beaten the Kings in 2014, and they could have won 3 cups in a row.
They should have.
Oh, there you go. Oh, my God. Yeah, well, I can't hate on the San Jose pick. I will obviously hate on the Columbus pick all day because
I know
John Tortorella drives me more insane than anyone on the planet, it seems like.
I've gone from hating him to appreciating how big of a dick he is.
Nope, I still am not to that point. Screw
like,
that guy.
Like, wow, he's still that way. That's amazing.
He is committed to being a dick.
He is. You got to respect that at some point.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain athletes that are like that are just like, to the level of dickishness where you're just like, you know what? I respect your resolve. Just keep being you, man. I don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
But I just am not there with John Tortorella.
All right,
man.
That's fair.
I don't know why. I just am not.
All right, well, so you're going with Vegas? That's your pick?
I'm really torn, man, because I want to root for Vegas, but I also feel like everybody's on their bandwagon, so I don't really think they need me.
That's probably true.
Like, I'm trying to, like, I think that, like, so many people are going to jump on the Vegas bandwagon that it's going to clear up some room on the Nashville bandwagon, so I think I might jump back on that.
All right, I'm having problem cheering for Nashville because they're a rival now. Like, they're probably the Hawks' main rival at this point.
I'm sorry, I think you have to qualify for the playoffs to worry about rivalries. So I'm not really all that worried about it right now. Nashville is clearly superior to the Blackhawks.
Well, yes, that's obvious. But I'm saying, so could you root for the Blues? Because rivalries go out the window when the playoffs start?
No, because some things like St. Louis being an awful place transcend that.
All right. I respect that.
Oh, and you know what? Let's bring this up. You know what? We brought up St. Louis. Let's just go ahead and say this. MLB posted on their Twitter account yesterday a video of Kyle Schwarber hitting a home run. And I bet you cannot guess what most of the comments were on that video.
I can't.
It was assbag Cardinals fans whining about the guy who struck out a million times being featured. It's all, oh, the Cubs act like they've won 3 straight World Series. And MLB's riding the Cubs' jock. God, Cardinals fans are insufferable. Like, I know that Chris Ranji these, like, Twitter moments where he's like, nah, they're no more insufferable than anybody else. To Chris Ranji, I say nay. They are definitely more insufferable than any other fan base. They are the literal worst. I would rather talk to a Yankees fan than a Cardinals fan. There, I said it.
Well, at least the Yankees fans, I mean, look, the Cardinals have a lot of World Series too, but you can't F with the Yankees. I mean, they're the Yankees. They're like the Yankees of the Yankees, right? That's what people say about sports. Well, they're the Yankees of hockey. They're the Yankees of football. The Yankees are the damn Yankees. So it's hard to hate on them. All right, you ready to do some emails?
Apparently, I'm, like, fired up enough to where these emails better be good or else listeners are getting some wrath tonight.
All right, let's do it.
Email the guys at madhousepod@gmail.com or follow them on Twitter @madhousepod.
The email segment, as always, is brought to you by our friends at Chuck's Southern Comforts Cafe with locations in Burbank and Darien. Visit chuckscafe.com and go get some tremendous barbecue, some tremendous Cajun, some tremendous Mexican, and some great bar food. You'll be amazed whatever you have at Chuck's. They have got the 120 Beer Club. Try every beer on tap and you win a prize pack of some kind. You get your name on the wall, all that good stuff. Chuck's is awesome. They've got they can accommodate banquets at both locations. We had our baby shower there back in, 2010, a long time ago. And we've had several family events at both locations. So Chuck's is awesome. Go there. My favorite is the Saturday special, the Coach Anita Pabil. But like I said, everything there is tremendous. I love the jambalaya. I say it's the best I've ever had, and I stand by it. So visit our friends at Chuck's Cafe. Again, Burbank and Darien, chuckscafe.com for locations and specials. All right, first email of the show comes from our friend Nicholas Malone, the aforementioned Maloner boner. He says, this article was just posted about Nick Schmaltz and all the steals he had this year, posted at Second City Hockey. He says, funny because I was literally thinking about it after my morning skate. For as much as people praise Saad for being the next Hossa, Schmaltz is quietly developing into that kind of player. He just needs to continue his strength and conditioning. If he were to develop a strong base, he would be really dynamic. As of right now, he's getting knocked around way too much. I like everything I saw from Nick Schmaltz this year. I really do. And I do think you're right. I think a little more size, a little more muscle will benefit him. But that also comes with age. You got to remember that we're talking about a young hockey player. And you saw one guy in particular who started his career small and bulked up big time is Patrick Kane. And that comes with time. That comes with NHL training, NHL trainers, NHL seasons. So I don't think that's a huge concern. I do think that he's going to be one of the stars of this team for a long time, assuming they don't have to trade him for cap relief.
I hate that those words came out of your mouth, because it's exactly what I was thinking, man.
Yep. Yeah. Let's not speak it into existence. Next email.
I would agree with that, and I also would agree with Malone or Boner that I think Nick Schmaltz's defense is honestly kind of understated. Like, it kind of almost reminds me of, like, when reporters would yell about Hossa never being a Selke candidate, like, where it was like, wait, is his defense actually kind of underrated a little bit because he, like, never finishes higher than, like, sixth or seventh in Selke? I kind of maybe feel that way just about the way we talk about Nick Schmaltz, because we always talk about his speed and his incredible passing ability. God, he can pass. But we don't really talk about his defense that much, and it is really good.
It has been. This year he's been really impressive on the defensive end and plays the – that's why I'm glad they stuck with him at center. And that's one thing I want to give Quenneville credit for this year, is that he did give Schmaltz a leash at center. Sometimes he had to move him to wing just simply out of demand, right? They just it was more of a numbers thing than anything. But for the most part, he's played center. He's played it well. I'm really encouraged from what I've seen from him this year, and I think it's only going to get better. Next question from Alex B. from Oklahoma. He says, hello, James and Jay. How are y'all doing? I'm fine. I'm like a 7 out of 10 right now. He says, everyone knows which GMs and coaches are on the hot seat. Who is your surprise pick for coach or GM to be fired at the end of the season? That's a good question. Try to think of, like, a sneaky underachiever this year, right? Like, teams with higher aside from the Hawks, of course, teams with higher expectations that sort of fell short. I mean, people expected more from Arizona, right?
Like, I still don't think Rick Tocchet is getting fired there.
Like, Dallas was supposed to be a playoff team, and they still could be, but I don't know. It's hard to say, like, a surprise firing. I think that would be maybe a question to be answered after the playoffs, when a team that's expected to go far maybe gets unexpectedly eliminated, right? I think that could be the time to sort of ask that question, because I think right now teams are either playoff teams or they're not, so it's clear who the candidates to be fired are. But if some team that's expected to do great, like Tampa or Boston or, you know, one of those top-tier teams, if they don't succeed in the playoffs or they don't at least make a nice run – then you could talk about something. But I think as far as any surprises, it's sort of hard to predict at this point.
I think I'm going to go with Barry Trotz in Washington. Like, I know that, like, he's sort of on the hot seat, but I still think that it's one of those things where are you really going to upgrade over him? Like, unless Joel becomes available, then he maybe could coach in Washington. But I was thinking maybe Barry Trotz with them. And then maybe. I was thinking maybe Bruce Boudreau with the Wild. If they get bounced from the playoffs early, you think they maybe make a change up there?
That would be one of my top candidates, yeah. I would think that would be – because when is it going to come? Like, we keep talking about how the Wild are good and how they have a lot of talent, and all that's true, and then they always fall short. And in fairness, a lot of times they run into the Blackhawks on their Stanley Cup run. So it's tough to be overly critical of the Wild, but the Wild never really gave the Hawks a really hard time, right? When the Hawks were going to the Cups, it was sort of like they plowed through the Wild.
It wasn't even close. There was maybe one year that Corey Crawford kind of had to, like, carry the day, but, like, for the most part, the Blackhawks kind of were in cruise control against Minnesota.
I agree. Yeah, I think that's a good pick. I'm going to say that one for now until we see how the playoffs go. Next email from Alex Keller. He says, hey, guys, I was hoping you'd put your Gia on your GM cap. I realize you'll probably hit on this when the offseason officially starts, but what would your three main priorities for the summer be for the Blackhawks? P.S. Jay, I hope your dad's surgery went well. It did. Thank you for asking. So our three main priorities for the Blackhawks this summer. James, go ahead. You go first.
Sign Sakura.
Yes.
Get him under contract. Get him in camp. They need him. Number two, I want him to bulk up Nick Schmaltz a little bit. I think an earlier email had mentioned getting a little bit more core and lower body strength. I think that's definitely something that needs to happen. And then third and finally, you have to move a big contract. You have to get a contract off the books without giving up a guy like Nick Schmaltz or Alex DeBrincat. I don't care whether it's Anisimov or Seabrook or whomever. You need to get a big contract off the books, and you've got to give yourself a little bit of flexibility to kind of maneuver around and to sign somebody to help improve that blue line, because I don't think a guy like Yokoharu is going to come in next season and make a giant impact on the blue line. Like, he might, but I kind of doubt it.
And if
I
he makes
the team
at all,
a little bit more development time. But I think that's where my head's at. Improve those kinds of like younger guys, kind of get them moving in the right direction, and then to make a move to open up some flexibility to give yourself a boost on that defensive side of the puck.
I agree with all those. I'm going to add one, too. I think that whatever you do, the main goal this summer should be finding out what Corey Crawford's future is. Is he a guy you can expect to be healthy for 82 games next season and beyond? Because if he's not, and this is going to be a recurring situation with him, that changes the course of the organization, in my opinion. I think, you know, unless you're going to, like you said, trade Anisimov and sign a great goalie, which becomes difficult because there's not a ton of great goalies. You know, they need the, to me, that needs to be the number one thing, is to find out just what Corey Crawford you're going to get for the remainder of his career or his contract.
Trade Brent Seabrook to the Rangers for Henrik Lundqvist.
Sure, that works. Yeah, I'll do that. I'm down with that. No, I just think that that's a huge priority. They got to find out what is ailing Corey Crawford and how to fix it. And then, again, if he's healthy, I think their odds to win and be competitive are way, way, way better, because Berube and Forsberg are bad. And that's kind of brings me to another key, is find a better backup goalie, because these two didn't work out. They didn't work out. You got to pay for goaltending. And I know it's tough, but guys get hurt, and you saw it cost them a lot this season. If they had Scott Darling this year, or they had Antti Raanta this year, they're in way better shape, I think. Maybe still not a playoff team, but they're not at the bottom of the conference. No way in hell. All right, that's it for the emails. You want to pick a winner? You like one very much? They win a free breakfast at Chuck's.
God, I almost like all of them, man.
Well, let's see. We have one guy in Oklahoma, so he's not going to want Chuck's.
No, he won't. But we could always do what we've done in the past. We can give away a breakfast to one emailer and a card to another.
All right, let's do that. So let's give Alex Keller had the three keys to the offseason. I like that one.
I did like that a lot.
Let's give him the breakfast. And then Nick Malone on the on Nick Schmaltz and his defense. That's something that no one's really brought up this year.
God, we have not talked about it enough on this podcast, and it's definitely one of the positive things. So I feel really good about that.
All right. There's your winners. Thank you guys for contributing to the podcast. Thank you for listening. I know it's a slog. I know it's a tough season. I know it's hard to find the Blackhawks passion, but thank you for sticking with the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. James and I do appreciate it, and we will be here for you this summer. I know we're feeling frustrated right now, but we'll be around. We'll be with you every week. Sometimes deep in the summer when things get really slow, it'll be every 2 weeks, but we will be with you, and we'll be with you till the remainder of the season too. So stick with us. There's still 7 games to go. But we're going to get there, guys. We're going to get to the finish line. But thank you for listening to tonight's edition of the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast, which was brought to you by Triple Threat Sports. For all your team outfitting needs, call Chris at 708-478-6090. Mariska's in Crest Hill, family-owned and operated since 1933. Chuck's Southern Coverage Cafe, with locations in Burbank and Darien. Visit chuckscafe.com and seatgiant.com. Use promo code Madhouse at checkout to save on your sports tickets. Thanks for listening to the podcast. For my partner, James Naveau, I'm Jay Zawoski. We'll be back with you next time on the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.